Man, would Philip Rivers wear that?
Why do you keep bringing up Philip Rivers all the time? Why are you obsessed? Let me just give you a... Philip Rivers is not back in this competition.
Damn it, okay.
I just want to get... I'm going to help you out because I feel bad. Get Philip off your mind.
What a jerk he is, Ahmed Fareed. He set me up in our last Whose Feet Is It quarterback edition.
Know your quarterback's feet.
He killed me. He has a foot fetish. And also, Philip Rivers would never wear that shirt. I know that.
This is one of my favorite new,
I like it.
New hoodies right now.
I mean,
now.
I like it. I'm just saying he wouldn't wear it.
He would not wear this.
No, he would not. But.
So if, for people that don't know, the last 2 weeks, we've done a separate video
yes.
where you try to guess. I show you a picture of a foot. Or 2 feet sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes you get both.
Sometimes I get a whole leg.
And you have to guess whose feet, the quarterback that owns those feet.
Yes, yes.
Which quarterback has those feet. And so it's a very difficult game. You've done very well in
right.
the past.
Last showing.
But this last showing
you
was
dominated.
Very down because you had Philip Rivers on the mind almost the entire time.
I don't know what
every
it was.
Every foot, every leg you saw, you're like, that could be Philip Rivers. I'm like, stop thinking about him.
Seriously.
He's not in this competition this week.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking. You doing good, man? Did you enjoy your
good.
Sunday watching football every
I
day?
I did. Had my mom, had my dad over. My kids were watching football with me. My son, who's 6 now, is starting to get into it and ask about the team. So it's
right.
cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And you're, of course, in this building, locked in here in front of, I think, what it is, 12 TVs in the room?
Yeah, just maybe. About somewhere in that general range. But it's a great day. It really is. It's
it
the
is.
Most stressful, like, 6 hours of my life every week, just trying to make sure I've seen what I need to see. Do I really know what happened in that
yeah.
game? I'm trying to write notes. But either way, we had a lot of fun things to talk about. And as usual, we're going to hit them all.
So
and we'll hit a little
yes.
Browns-Ravens maybe preview at the end of all this when it's all said and done.
14 games, and there were a lot of 4 o'clock games. So
yes.
listeners and viewers
fuck me,
may
make
have
my life
missed
hard.
Some of those. I know for you, because you're getting ready at that time.
Right.
And your show starts when a lot of those 4 o'clock games, when basically everyone is ending.
Definitely,
right?
yes.
So you were able to go back, look at some things here. We do have the two deep dives. We got Eagles Saints. We're going to do that right off the top.
Yep.
We got Steelers Bills. Another loss for the Steelers. We'll do that a little bit later. We'll go through all the rest of the games. But I do want to start with something
cool.
that is from Sunday Night Football
right.
that people have been noticing more and more the last couple of weeks, and specifically yesterday.
Huh.
Your Lowe's
you
commercial.
You got me scared.
Your
oh,
Lowe's
okay.
commercial.
Okay.
What did you
right.
think I was going to say?
I didn't know. I was like, what? Oh, did my haircut? What have I done on there recently?
Your haircut does
did
get
I
some
say
reaction.
Anything? Yeah. Oh, okay. But
you
also,
get a haircut every
Sunday, other Friday, right?
Every
now.
Other Friday. Okay.
I do. That's
it's
how my,
always the same. I don't know why people react.
I don't know either. But every I mean, time. If you're gonna have the haircut, you gotta have the haircut. Like it's
exactly.
not one of these ones where it's like, hey, I get it cut this way, and then I just let it grow out and become a I don't know
different
what the
person.
Hell. Right.
It's
yeah.
Like
so
right here,
and
yeah.
also, you know what we didn't do here? I mean,
what?
We're throwing interceptions early on in the podcast.
What did we,
Verizon's
it?
Paying the bills here.
Oh
they
gosh.
Sponsor us.
Well, maybe not anymore.
Okay. Nope. Now they've said the hell with you. Get the other guy out of here.
Yeah. Thank you, Verizon.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you to Lowe's for giving us this opportunity.
Please.
This is Joshua Nichols.
Yes.
Chris, I saw you on the Lowe's commercial using some Craftsman tools. Totally rad man. was that your legit family? P.S. My wife and I enjoy Pro Football Talk every morning. So he wants to know, was that your legit family or your illegitimate family?
Well, hey, you know, I got a little bit of both. No, that was my legit family.
Yeah.
That also was my home. So if anybody wants to totally be intrusive in my life, now you can. But no, yeah, that's it was a cool thing to do. My
yeah.
little girl is still taking crap. My little girl's an eighth grader. She's 14.
Uh-huh.
She says she walks around school all day on Monday and Tuesday, and all she hears is, looking good, Dad. And she just cringes. She's always like,
yeah.
oh, Dad, that commercial. But yeah, that was really cool to be a part of. My kids got to see it, of course, the family. But that's my wife. And I'm not exactly a handyman around the house, that's for sure.
You can kind of tell.
You can
kind of
tell.
Yeah.
The technique didn't look
my
right.
My wife wanted to know. She was like, I'm thinking it looks like kind of a spring day, but yet there are these leaves on the ground.
Right.
Because you're doing the leaf blower.
Yes.
She was like, did they have to ship in the leaves?
They did.
Wow.
Yes. And it was not a spring day. It was like maybe the first week of September.
Okay.
So we filmed it maybe 2 weeks before the regular season.
Wow.
And they brought in bags of leaves. And then what they told me was, it's $100 a bag for the leaves. I went, what? I said, wait, you could have gone right back here. I'm in like the country in my backyard. We get leaves for free everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was still cool. Any more questions about the Lowe's commercial?
No, I don't think so.
No?
You use the drill to put up the projector. Did you know how to use all the tools? Did you know how to turn on the leaf blower?
I did. I did know how to do that. But, I mean, like, realistically, I don't think I've ever used a leaf blower in my life other than just, like, something stupid. Like, here, do this real quick or whatever. Not, like, anything sustained. I am not a handyman by any stretch of the imagination.
Do you still have that projector and that screen out in your backyard?
No, no. So that's, like, superimposed.
Oh, it wasn't
basically.
Even real.
It was basically, like, a big chalkboard. But they just put a white screen on it, and then they put that stuff on there.
Wow.
Like, when we were sitting there doing the commercial, it was just a white screen.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going, here we go, team, and doing all that.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Literally taking us behind the curtain.
You know it.
And how many times did it take you to say, let's go, team?
I had to change it up every time. I'm very versatile. Very, very versatile. I said, oh, wait, hold on. Yeah. What's my motivation? And they tell me, and then I just nail it.
That's that your team is playing, and you want them to go.
Right.
Got it.
And the first few times I said real teams. I was like, let's go Giants. Oh. And Lowe's is watching this commercial as it unfolds, and they're like, all right, no more team names.
Yeah.
Because there's no guarantee the Giants are going to be on there, so I had to go generic.
Let's go team. Do well in the big game. Right?
Exactly.
That's exactly what you have to do. 100%. All right, well, I hope you do another one, because they're really fun to break down and make fun of you for.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into our deep dive. And by the way, at the end, four new teams were eliminated. Two virtually eliminated, not mathematically, but we're going to
Throw them out there.
Requiem for a team. We're going to lay them to rest.
Yeah.
But the first one is our film deep dive. We got Eagles versus Saints. Eagles got a win over the previously number one seed New Orleans Saints, who are that no longer, 24-21. And when I was watching this game and the highlights back again, I was thinking Chris is going to be so mad. I was like, Chris is not going to be happy with this. And Logan Haynes 5 had the same thought as me. The Eagles running the ball with Sanders and rolling the pocket, getting Jalen outside. Why didn't Wentz have those play calls more often? It looked like an offense that I'm not going to say was easy to execute for the quarterback, but there were some plays that were right there for Jalen Hurts. I thought Doug Peterson did a good job for him.
Yeah.
Maybe things he hasn't done for Carson in
the past. Well, I would agree with some of that. You know, I will. And Jalen Hurts did a great job. And some of the reason those plays work, too, are also because of Jalen Hurts and the skill set and what he brings to the table, right? You know, you're going to get some basic looks because of his ability to run, which now a sprint out play that maybe a team with Carson Wentz might go, we're going to play coverage here. We don't have to worry about a quarterback design run or anything like that. That might not be as available as it is for a guy like Jalen Hurts, because now a defense is going, wait, I know there might be no back in the backfield or one back in the backfield, but we have to worry about that aspect a little. And then it leaves some of those simple things wide open to where you just go, why didn't they do that before? Well, that's a little reasoning. That's sometimes why you hear me tell you things like what Cam Newton and Kyler Murray and the Russell Wilson and those double threat type quarterbacks, like the statistics don't tell the whole story, I guess, sometimes to what they bring to the football game. So that understood. And then here's the second part, because it's a great question, and I observe the same thing. And I'm not lying. I mean, Coach Dungy and Rodney also like recognize the same thing. They almost had an identity right away where you go, oh, they're gonna run the ball. It's going to be high percentage throws. They're going to move the pocket a little, and they're just going to live and die with that right there, right? I mean, they had an identity. With Carson Wentz, this is the second time in his career where we've seen this, where I think they almost they give him too much leeway or something. Or they just think he's maybe better than he is, to where they just go, hey, you go out there. We just call whatever you want. We'll call a play. If you want to audible and change, go ahead. And we're just going to throw passes, and you'll dice them up and do whatever. No, I mean, it's not playing to the strength of their team. It's not giving them any identity, and it's obviously didn't help their offense. Mm-hmm. Now, what Hurts brings to the table. Hurts' speed is better than I gave it credit for. Let's just start right there. That's the first thing I think that jumps out about the football game.
He's
right?
got a little like Derrick Henry to him, too, where it doesn't look like he's necessarily
no,
running that
No, he kind of gets
fast,
in that, like, you're right.
But he's pulling away from everyone.
Pulling away.
Yeah.
Yes. I think, you know, that aspect of the game was phenomenal. I think it must have caught the Saints by surprise, too. And I'll say, even just to start this off, and before we get into some of the specifics of what happened and what they did, hey, the other thing, too, is, I mean, the Saints, I'm just shocked by their defensive game plan as I went through it. They're, you know, other than the first third down of the game, there wasn't really any plays where they were truly spying him and aware of him running. They tried to play some zone defense and, hey, linebackers, make sure you keep your eyes on him. But as soon as the receiver went in front of them, then they kind of moved, and all of a sudden he gets outside of the pocket, and they're not there because it's not a true spy. They're kind of trying to cheat it. So that's the big thing. And here's like, I'll just sum it up one way here. His design runs, his scrambling and running Mm-hmm. Him hitting the passes he should and a few that, you know, maybe he shouldn't. No turnovers, no negative plays, played the field position football game. I mean, some of those things I just mentioned there are the opposite of what Carson Wentz does. Mm-hmm. So just the fact that he played the game a certain way gave them a better chance to win the game, let alone him being in there. You saw it. I saw it. I think you saw it. The energy of the football team was different. Now, whether they felt like they had to help the guy out or they were just pissed off or whatever, I don't know. But the Eagles came out physical and in your face and had a different way about their style of play yesterday.
So even though the Saints defense maybe didn't account for the fact that Jalen Hurts was running, and basically a lot of what he did in college, Bradley Lamps tweeted in kind of the same thing you said there. Chris, I was reminded of your pre-draft analysis of Hurts. He drops back looking to run at an alarming amount of plays. Saw that yesterday as the defensive line penetration turned his weakness into a benefit. I thought that was a good way to put it.
That's exactly right. There was a number of plays. Again, you've heard me say this before, too, where I go, wait, why is New Orleans blitzing? Why are they making it like to where right. he has to run or has to throw a one-on-one ball?
Right.
And you take the thinking away from him. But that, to me, was the shock of why there was no spy on him. You know, if you evaluated him in college, you know, one, you would know, okay, he's faster than Carson Wentz. He was a lot faster than Carson Wentz. I'll say I even misevaluated that. Mm-hmm. But two, if you evaluated him in college, you saw he wants to run first. He is a run-first quarterback who can throw and hurt you with his arm at times, right? That's really what he is. Instead of like a Deshaun Watson, who's a throw-first quarterback, he's going to dice you up with his arm, and he only runs when he feels like, okay, I can't dice you up with my arm. I have to do that. Mm-hmm. Especially at this young of an age, yeah, Hurts is still like that, and that's where I was shocked by the Saints' lack of attention to his running ability, especially in some drop-back situations.
Yeah, and he is also he's taking your pre-draft analysis. He's maybe making you reevaluate it, and he's also stealing your signature look here. James, do we have that picture of him in his press conference afterwards? He's taking your look. It's like, this is your deal. This is your top
button. Oh, you're talking about Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts. Yeah, Jalen Hurts, you're a
top button
guy.
Swag, yeah.
You've got top button swag, and I know at the end of the game, there it is.
Woo,
he's
baby.
He's taking your look, and Mike Florio pointed this out, is that he's even maybe amping it up a little bit by changing the top button.
Well, he should. He's cool, man. He's cooler than me. I know that. I mean, he's more charismatic. He's faster. He wore number 2 like me, so maybe we have more in common than
maybe
you think.
Maybe there is something there. He's trying to get on your good side.
But his charisma, you know, toughness in which he played, he only threw one throw the whole game where he should have thrown an interception. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on the right side. He threw an out route late over there. It was really his only dicey decision the whole football game. It could have been a pick six. It could have changed the football game. But either way, for a guy who made his first start, there was a lot of things he did really well. And I think the biggest thing is he managed the game the right way. And he didn't cause negative plays or put the team in bad spots, which always gave them the opportunity and the way their defense is playing. And we'll hit that in a few minutes too, to where it all tied together to a special day. But, you know, his running and even his, you know, his threat of his running, I think is a big reason you saw Miles Sanders run down the sideline for an 82-yard touchdown. Yeah. You know, they're worried about that. They're trying to create something. Quan Alexander makes the wrong run fit. That was really the big issue with the play. He goes to the wrong gap, and that left Miles Sanders off, and he can just turn the afterburners on. But nonetheless, they're playing a defense because –
here's that play.
Here it is. Can we rewind that one more time just from the start? Let's just watch it one more time if you don't mind, if you can hit that rewind button.
Seemed like Quan Alexander going inside was what sprung
exactly
this
right. He goes inside. And here, wait, go start it over one more time. Pause it at the start. Don't go yet. So Quan Alexander on that left hash right there, right? That linebacker there. Yep, 58.
Number,
Now go and hit the play button for me, Pete. You can see how he goes to that backside there, like you said. He should be in that front side gap right where Miles Sanders ran. So that was certainly the issue there and a big moment of the football game because it put them up 17-0, you know, before half and really had a chance to go down and kick another field goal that they missed that would have put them up 20-0.
So it was curious by the Saints. Right? Yes. They did not tailor their defense to stop Jalen Hurts. Maybe they were surprised, like you said, about the speed of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But outside of, I mean, that big play, that's not great, obviously. There was another big play early to Rager where he was wide open, big yards after the catch. So there were a few big plays.
Yes.
But I'm not going to say overall it was like a total breakdown of the Saints' defense.
I don't think so either. I think there was like the Rager play you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was a breakdown. They just messed it up. They're playing zone coverage. And one of the guys followed the first crosser too far in, and then they crossed another guy coming his way, and he was out of position, and then he becomes uncovered there. So, yeah, there was a few mistakes.
Like the first touchdown by Hurts is, you know, the cornerback doesn't turn around. Alshon Jeffrey makes a good play on it. Not really terrible.
No, that's
defense.
Not terrible. These are pros too. Alshon Jeffrey gets paid. Jalen Hurts made a great throw under pressure. To me, I don't look at the Saints players as being an issue. That's where I go, Dennis Allen, you just made it easy for the rookie quarterback.
Right.
He didn't have to read anything. He just went, wait, I'm going to take my biggest receiver on the field and throw him a 50-50 ball. Mm. And I like his chances. And that's what he got out of that. So, you know, I never agree with, like, over-blitzing those rookie quarterbacks. I think it's a gift more than it is something
especially
that troubles them.
Especially one can get out of the pocket.
Like, well, and that's what we saw, too.
Yeah.
Blitzes, five-man rushes. They started to do the five-man rushes to think, oh, we'll clog all lanes and he won't be able to run. That's cool, but you still have to stay disciplined within your lanes. You can't just go, oh, we're rushing five, and that'll clog it up, and I'll just go wherever I want, defense end, and I'll go inside and do those type of things. And then he turned the corner, and like we've talked about, his speed is pretty damn special. Faster than I gave him credit for.
Yeah.
Really, it's legit speed.
So true or false, after one game,
yeah,
Chris Sims now likes Jalen Hurts more than Taysom Hill.
I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet. I like Jalen Hurts a lot. I really do. I heard nothing but good things about the guy going up into the draft process. Mm-hmm. You know, what sucks for me is I have to evaluate him as a quarterback, and yeah, I had issues the way he throws the football. I think anybody who watched it yesterday could see, hey, yeah, it was good, but there's still some things we need to work on, certainly. But he brought a life and an energy to the football team. And he brought an attitude, I think, to the football team that we haven't seen with Carson Wentz. He gave them a spark. And I know, like, you know, Doug Peterson, I think he's come out and said he's starting now, week 15, right? I think that's what I saw.
They asked him about that, which I don't know. That's not really a question. Like, why would he not start?
Well, that's what me is, like, right after the game, you won, he played good.
I guess they just want the soundbite of, like, yeah, we're going with him next time. But it's like, yeah, obviously.
Is right. I mean, how could you not? And then it does say it here as I'm looking. Florio's just reported that he will start in week 15. But, yes, that was obvious. I mean, how could you – put him back on the bench after
that story is like, no, we're benching him again.
We're going back to Carson.
I was like, what?
No.
They'd love that in Philadelphia. All right, so what about the Saints side of it real quick, on the offensive side of the ball?
Right.
Taysom Hill had some mistakes, had a strip sack fumble where he just didn't feel the pressure
on the
back side of him on a fourth
down. Fourth down, sprint right option. He's raw here. You want to talk about rawness here?
Yeah. I mean, he's played a lot of football, but not a lot of quarterback.
Exactly right. So they took a shot here. You're thinking, oh, it's fourth and one. They're going to throw a ball for 2 or 3 yards, right? Sprint out pass, just like we saw like Mahomes do at the end of that football game yesterday. They did it once for a touchdown and once a Tyreek Hill to get the first down to close the game out. You're thinking that's what's going to happen. Well, you know, Sean Payton realizes, well, they probably think I'm going to do that. He takes a shot. He's got Emmanuel Sanders one-on-one with a linebacker way down the field for a post route. I don't know why he didn't throw it. He could have cut it loose. Emmanuel Sanders had the guy by a step already. And, of course, when the ball's in the air, I like his chances to separate even further. At the very least, too, he looks behind him because he's got two options to his right. Like I said, Sanders going on the post route. Michael Thomas is coming from the backside as a shallow crosser. He's wide open. It's easy completion. It's 6 yards. It's first down. Here we go. And he kind of looked that way, but then I don't know if he was really looking at the rush. I couldn't tell exactly where his eyes were. But either way, he didn't throw it to him. That would have been a slam dunk first down. He holds the ball too long, doesn't know where to go, and then, of course, Sweat gets the strip sack fumble. Mistakes by them throughout the day. Coaching staff, him, everything. You can attribute it to all the Saints' struggles. The first and most important thing is this. The Philadelphia defensive line whooped the shit out of the Saints offensive line. Mm. And that doesn't happen very often in the last 4 years of New Orleans Saints football. It just does not happen. So that was the first aspect of the football game that jumped out to me. And then on top of that, you know, Sean Payton, I thought, was a little slow to adjust and was a little too run-centric in the first half. Things jump-started in the second half because they went to a throw-first mentality. And that finally got them going to make some plays and do some things that way. But, you know, early in the first half, I thought they were too conservative. They thought they were just going to be able to run the ball down the Eagles' throats. He throws the interception on the screen pass, which, again, even that play is a little bit of experience.
He gunned it right off the hands
gunned
of
it, Kamara. Right. He got pressure on him before he really thought he was going to have to, right? It was a four-man rush, but it was the old, like, two guys on the edge blitz and two guys on the inside dropped out, right? So that confuses the offensive line. You can't always get out there to get that guy off the edge when you do blitzes like that. Well, you know, he's throwing a screen, and when you throw a screen in the NFL, you usually have a count in your head. There's two-count screens, there's three-count screens. So he's looking to his right going, you know, basically one, two, and then he's just going to turn three. As he's getting ready to turn, oh, no, the guy's there, and he's going to throw it, like, really quick, and you're right. He throws a ball that's too hard off Kamara's hands, interception, and, of course, was a big part of the football
game
as well.
What do you make of this? And on the Kamara lines here, he has fewer than 100 scrimmage yards in each of the four games with Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback this season. In all six with Drew Brees as the starting quarterback, he was 100-plus in every one of those games.
Yeah, and say that first line with Taysom Hill again.
So with Taysom Hill in the four games that he has started, Alvin Kamara has not reached 100 scrimmage yards in a game that Taysom Hill has been the quarterback.
Yeah, that's surprising. That really is. I think
Seems like you'd want to lean on him more.
I know, it does. I think the biggest aspect, though, that is being missed from the Saints' offense is that short, Alvin Kamara gets to read the coverage along with Drew Brees' passing game. So that's not happening. And that forces defenses' hands a lot of the times to, oh, wait, Kamara's in the – we have to worry about doubling him out of the backfield. Or we have to do this. And now they run the ball, and you're like, wait, we're not in a very good run defense or run defense personnel here because I was worried about that aspect. So I think that really, you know, has affected Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Plus teams, as of right now – when they play the Saints, especially early on in these games, are going, we're going to stop the run. We're going to not let Taysom Hill and this running attack kill us. We want to see Taysom Hill, the thrower, beat us. And he wasn't bad. He did a lot of good things. He certainly did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they left some plays and some yards on the field, and they were just too late to get the offense jump started.
Even having said that, there was a throw by Jalen Hurts in the beginning of the fourth quarter that could have been a pick six.
That's the one I was talking about, that charts on the right sideline.
Yes.
Exactly right.
So it would have been a completely,
completely different game.
We would have been talking about how the Saints, you know, hey, you know, got a little close for them, got a little dicey, but, you know, good teams prevail. So it still was close. You know, and Jalen Hurts fumbled at the end there to keep it close too. Almost got the onside kick, and so you play that game 10 times. Saints win a majority of those.
Well, I would think so. I would think so. Yeah, I think the Philly, it was a real good day for them. The Saints a down day. They missed a field goal. Mm-hmm. They missed two field goals. Mm-hmm. You know, missed a field goal that's, you know, set up a touchdown drive for the Eagles. You know, missed another long field goal later in the game. Wait, I'm right about that, right? Yeah, yes, I am right. And then, you know, 10 points off of turnovers.
You're right.
You know, that I don't care who you are. You know, this is the NFL. You name up those type of things right there. More times than not, that team that's missed the field goals and lost the turnover battle is going to lose the game. I don't care if it's their five games or eight games better in the win column, whatever it is. It's the NFL. It's too close.
So Drew Brees getting close to coming back.
Yep.
When he comes back, perhaps the Saints will not be the number one seed. They are not right now.
Yep.
That has gone over to the Green Bay Packers and your guy Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, that grade one.
That is it. So it's we got a switch up here. So they both clinched playoff berths. Green Bay Packers clinched the NFC North with a win over my Detroit Lions, who fall to 5-8. The five wins for the Detroit Lions are pretty amazing, by the way. But let's talk a little bit more about the Green Bay Packers, and we will do that by taking it up to 100. Presented by Head & Shoulders. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Take It Up to 100, presented by Head & Shoulders. You know where you can get that? That's available at Walmart. No big deal.
Way to go. No big deal. NBD.
We got two in this one. We'll start with the Packers.
Yeah.
And a guy that basically I'm crediting his season to you.
You
he
should.
You motivated him from the get-go.
I definitely did.
Devontae Adams, as the Packers beat the Lions 31-24, seven catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown. It's his eighth straight game with a touchdown, longest streak in franchise history. You know he's going to get it. Teams know he's going to get
it. I know.
They cannot stop.
That's what I love about it. I do. I mean, you know, of course he's a hell of a football player. Of course I was wrong, okay? I mean, I was wrong. And he was not in my top 10, but he was probably right there. I said 11
at the time. And you will now consider him next year.
I will. Right. I definitely will. He's crapped all over me, okay? But he is – that's what, you know, I love about Devontae Adams and Rodgers, first off. They wear it out. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yep. They don't care. Oh, you're one-on-one? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. We'll just keep throwing it until that changes.
It's like in Madden, that one play that keeps working. You might as well keep calling it. It's like, oh, you're ruining the fun of it. I'm sorry. Stop it.
Yeah, yeah. Stop it. Exactly right. I mean, and then some of the plays, it's so many of the plays are not even schemed, like, whoa, what a play call or play design. I mean, his long touchdown run. It's his long touchdown catch, excuse me. It's a back shoulder. The guy's over the top of him. It's pretty good coverage. It's the perfect throw, and it's a guy that's got unbelievable hands and body control, and he just snaps it out of the, you know, snatches it out of the air, and turns up field seamlessly and runs for a 56-yard touchdown. Oh, big deal. No big deal. But it's also the other effect he has when it's not man-to-man. You know, he is the ultimate decoy, too, you know, because of what you just said. Like, it's Rodgers to Adams. There's so many plays throughout the football game where – Rodgers drops back, and he looks at Adams, who's 6 yards down the field, and the defense converges on him, and then Rodgers hits Valdez-Scantling behind him for a 20-yard play. It's that stuff, too, that doesn't really get talked about with the value of Adams, let alone, hey, it's a run play to the left. And then, oh, Rodgers doesn't like the numbers, so he has a little RPO option where if you don't like to run it to the left side, there's too many people over there. Hey, just throw a quick pass over to the right to Devontae Adams, who's got a little off coverage. We'd rather you just give him the ball one-on-one than run the ball into that bad look. He catches the ball behind the line of scrimmage, makes a guy miss, and it's 25, 30 yards, where it was a play that, you know, schematically they shouldn't have had much. And I think that's just his value. He's a phenomenal route runner. He's got, I think, the best, like, what would you say, the connection, you know, with him, they're like on the same wavelength.
Symbiosis
with his quarterback than any other receiver in football. Yeah. I think that's what Devontae Adams does, and he continues his trek of crapping all over Chris Sims.
And maybe we should give a little more credit to Matt LaFleur. Maybe he should be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
Agreed. I've had this conversation with a few people on Twitter where people ask me that, and you know, it's a really valid question. Why is it that he gets just kind of looked over in that conversation?
Because how different is this team roster-wise than they were before he was there?
Not a whole lot.
Not a ton.
No.
Still had Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly right. I mean, Aaron Jones, Adams, a lot of these guys were there. You're right. It's the attitude. It's the scheme he's brought. You know, he hired a new defensive coordinator there, too. Mm-hmm. That helped things out. So, yeah, everything he's done, let alone, hey, come on. The one thing we don't give Matt LaFleur credit for, what did we all question about when he got the job? Oh, can he get along with Rodgers? Can they make it work? It's been perfect. Mm-hmm. It's an NFC championship game, and the way it looks right now, we might be going to another NFC championship game, or at least in that conversation, we know that. And I'm with you, Ahmed. LaFleur.
Yeah.
I guess it's because his quiet persona kind of seems to get looked over in that conversation, and that's not right.
Yeah. SD Davidson 3, real quick, wants to know, do you see Green Bay as the best complete football team in the NFC, or do you still need them to do more?
I'm not sold on their defense all the way. I think that does have issues.
Yep.
I mean,
Lions move the ball on them.
Everybody moves the ball on Green Bay for the most part. They really do. So I don't know if I'm going to say the most complete team. The one thing I will say with Green Bay is I don't know if there's a team that executes and manages the football game on the offensive side of the ball better than the Green Bay Packers. And that's where they really put their pressure on you. Because you just know, oh, my gosh, not only do I have to deal with Rodgers, but he's really not going to mess up any, you know, major plays or situational football. And that puts a lot of stress on other teams, too. And that's the beauty of them. But, no, their run defense – that stuff, I do worry about that still with certain matchups here in the NFC.
But they got Aaron Rodgers, who maybe is closing the gap a little bit with Patrick Mahomes and that MVP talk, and that's our second take it up to 100 is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Mahomes had those three interceptions, but what does he know? He knows to feed his tight end. Travis Kelce, 8 catches, 136 yards, and a touchdown. He's been over 100 yards in 5 of his last 6 games. Kind of like Adams. You know you're gonna go to Kelce by the goal line, which they did, and they were able to do it.
It is. I mean, there's a number of plays every game where he's doubled, and they still get a 20-yard completion. It's just he is the slickest, craftiest route running tight end I've ever seen in my lifetime, for sure. I mean, he is literally like a – he's just a big receiver. I don't know what else to say, who's got some blocking ability. But the way he can move his hips and, you know, threaten DBs with his body language to get open and create separation, let alone, you know, for a big guy, he can put his foot in the ground and come out of breaks and do all of that. Yeah, he's awesome at that. But then – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about the symbiotic relationship, because this is another one that's very special. It's very similar that way, where it's just like Mahomes scrambles one way, and Kelce, it's like he, like, I can read his wavelengths, his wave, you know, his mind waves through the air.
On that touchdown right by the goal line, that's exactly what happened.
It's just constantly that kind of stuff where you're like, oh, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Oh, Mahomes is buying time. Oh, no, nobody's open. Oh, Kelce found the hole, or he made the right move in man-to-man coverage to separate and get open and do that. But that's where he's special. And, yeah, who do you defend on that football team? It's just amazing with the weapons you have to worry about on the outside, and then you got to worry about him on the inside. And you're right, that little sprint right option thing, I mean, we saw that, what, two times? We've seen it in the Super Bowl. We've seen it in the two times in the 24-0 deficit against the Houston Texans, a similar type of play, where it's just get Mahomes on the edge, he'll make magic happen, and we got other ball players who know how to play ball in these backyard sandlot type of situations, and we'll just get it done. And they're unbelievable. Never seen anything like the Kansas City Chiefs. Never seen anything like it.
Travis Kelce, 1,250 receiving yards. No tight end has ever led the league in receiving yards in a season. His 1,250 so far do lead the NFL in receiving yards.
It's amazing.
He could do it.
They could easily go 1-2 this year in receiving yards.
Yeah.
I mean, they usually could go Kelce 1, Tyreek Hill 2, and you go, what? Mm-hmm. You got the two top receiving?
Which is why maybe Aaron Rodgers should get a little more love for the MVP, because Patrick Mahomes does have better weapons.
I would never disagree with you there. You know, I love Patrick Mahomes, but Aaron Rodgers, to me right now, is the MVP of football for what's around him and what he has to do every week with, yes, a lesser cast of characters, certainly, than Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And then, you know, yeah, they've lost two more games in the on the schedule. I get that. But statistically, he's having a better year, too. But either way, it's going to be a close race by two legends.
So some debate on who could win, who's going to still win the MVP here. But no debate on this. Great symbiotic relationships. We got Adams and Rodgers. We got Kelce and Mahomes. And we have Head and Shoulders.
Ooh, take it up to 100.
Take it up to 100.
Ooh,
available
baby.
At Walmart. I mean, that is so good right there.
That
I
is
can't
so
take
good.
Credit for that. Pete wrote that into the rundown.
Right.
But that might have made the segment.
I don't know. I think you're kind of taking credit there without taking credit.
I did say it. But that, you know, we may lose Verizon because we didn't mention them off the top.
Head and Shoulders.
They're not going anywhere. They're here for
the
long run. All right, that's really good. Okay, you're going to look deeper into Kansas City and Miami.
Kansas City and Miami, I will look into.
Because two is going to be fun to talk about, but save that for Wednesday.
I will save it for Wednesday for the What the Fuck Happened podcast. And, yes, I want to also just see the Flores versus Andy Reid matchup and some of those things they did there. And, you know, I thought early on in that game Kansas City showed respect to the Miami defense, where I was like a little bit, I think they were like, well, we're not sure what you guys are going to do, and we're going to get a feel for your talent here first before we just, like, we're going to step on the pedal and just start throwing the ball everywhere. Now, of course, he missed a few easy throws and everything, but I did think there was a little bit of a respect factor there as far as that defense is concerned.
All right, so a lot still to talk about on that one, which you'll do on Wednesday. Yep. We're going to get to our second deep dive right now, and we put it out to a poll. We do this. Pete likes to have the homies chime in, and whenever we do that and include the Bills basically always win.
Almost always.
Almost always.
You can't mess with them.
Very rarely do they lose here. Bills Mafia showing up on Twitter in full force. They wanted to see your breakdown of how your boy Blue,
my boy Blue,
beat the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. This is from Gregory Ducell. Let's start it off with this. He goes, I love your breakdowns because I'm not super smart and I can still understand what you're saying. Keep it up, Sims. Just keep telling me why the Bills are amazing.
I like it. That's what I'm here to do.
That's what you're here to do, right?
I'm not that smart either. So I got to write notes down and tell myself. But I hopefully can, teach you some of the themes of the game and things that went good and bad for Buffalo or anybody else.
This was impressive for Buffalo. And let's just start offensively for them, because you got the highlight reel with Josh Allen at times. And Stephon Diggs, is there a player in the NFL, you talk about team MVPs. I know Josh Allen's the quarterback, and he's had a great year. But it's like, where would they be without Stephon Diggs? If he did not have Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen's not having the year where we're talking about Josh Allen being one of the top three quarterbacks
definitely
in the NFL.
Not. Definitely not. You need that guy, right? You need it. I mean, we just talked about Mahomes. He's got two of them. We just talked about Rodgers. He's got Adams.
Yeah.
You know, you need that guy, especially, you know, if you're going to play the, hey, we're going to play through the quarterback type of football game, which Buffalo is doing. And that's where Diggs is amazing. I mean, Diggs, he can do it all. You know, I said this today on PFT. He can do all the Julian Edelman stuff and win underneath and do all that, Wes Welker, option routes, all that. But then he can run by you like a Tyreek Hill on just a go route and say, see you later. Now, I know he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, but you got my point that he can threaten you with that. Let alone, hey, how about a third down? We just throw an under route to him and, you know, oh, it's double coverage, but he's just going to jump up, cradle his body, and break a tackle from Minkah Fitzpatrick and then run for another 30 yards. You know, that's what I mean. There's just the versatility of the football player is phenomenal, and then he fits within the scheme. And I think, hey, this game was interesting. Game was different watching it back on film than I thought on TV.
How so?
Pittsburgh's defense was the hair on my chinny chin chins away from making this game a disaster and really taking control of the football game.
Really?
Well, if you think about, you know, of course, the turnovers, right? He threw the interception. Dawson Knox has the fumble. That led to the touchdown. Dawson Knox has the fumble, but let's not think about this. The drive before, they had the strip sack that Mike Tomlin didn't challenge.
Right.
And they punted the ball away. I don't know if Mike Tomlin didn't get to see the play the right way or whatever.
Was there a clear recovery?
There was a clear recovery. They all went crazy after it because Diggs was the first one to go crazy. And he missed it, and Pittsburgh recovered it. So there's an averted disaster. You know, even after the Dawson Knox fumble, Pittsburgh goes up 7-0. The very next play was a strip sack, and Buffalo was fortunate to recover it.
Right.
So there we go. And so my big thing is with Pittsburgh, and I said this a little last week, you have to be able to withstand the initial emotions and ferociousness of the football game with them, because they got more bad mofos than any other team on the planet. And when they come off the bus and they're pissed off and foaming at the mouth and we got to get Josh Allen and we lost last week, they can take over football games. And they were really close to taking this game over. I mean, Buffalo was fortunate that the ball bounced the right way for them a number of times. Hmm. The first half, Buffalo, in my opinion, played a little bit too much of the, this is what we do, we'll be able to protect, we're going to throw the ball down the field, Josh Allen will make some plays, and you'll eat it, Pittsburgh. You're going to have to deal with us. Well, Pittsburgh made them eat it. And I think they went, whoa, okay, we need to readjust here. And really where it changed was the field goal drive before the half is where it started, but then it trickled into the second half, where I think they made a, like, hey, fuck this, we're going to drop back and hold the ball for 5 seconds against this crew. That wasn't going to happen. Whether they blitzed or rushed four, Pittsburgh was getting to Josh Allen in a hurry. And that's when Brian Daboll smartly just said, I'm done. We're going to throw the ball quick. We're going to get the ball out of our hands. We're going to make these guys tackle us after the catch. Or we'll just slowly kind of matriculate the ball down the field. He played that style with a little bit of every now and then, let me keep a tight end in the block and do something like that just so we don't get overwhelmed by their pressure and everything all that way. Yeah. But to me, that was the big adjustment in the football game. And then schematically, and then here's my other thing with Pittsburgh. And it didn't happen to a great degree, but I just noticed it in a lot of games, and this is why we've seen teams hang around them and not close it out. I talk about that initial ferociousness they have. You know, you go into halftime as a football player and you take a deep breath. Okay, this is what's going on in the game. Your wits get about you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the initial emotions off the game. Now the offensive line knows what to expect. Whoa, these guys are really freaking good. We got to do this and communicate and change a few things up there. But, you know, I think that's what I saw in the second half too, was Josh Allen just starting to realize, okay, I got to be on my toes, get the ball out of my hand. You know, I'll try to extend plays when I can. And slowly but surely, Pittsburgh's defense, you know, that ferociousness I keep talking about kind of fizzles away. They don't play a ton of guys on their front four. and they wear out just enough to where now we see Josh Allen on two consecutive drives start to pick you apart, and then he does buy time, and then all of a sudden it's a laser, and you're going, whoa, we're down 23-7.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the synopsis of the night.
Steelers have had some injuries on the defensive right. side of the ball. Bud Dupree, they lost with an ACL injury recently. Devin Bush earlier in the year. Joe Hayden was out in this game. Robert Spillane with a knee injury was out in this game. So able to still pressure him even without that. Did have T.J. Watt in the game, although Billy Johnny M. tweeted us and said, how about a damn okay for the way that Darrell Williams put T.J. Watt on a milk carton?
Well, he TJ Watt still was solid. He still pops, definitely.
So but he wasn't. He was not missing in action.
He was not missing in action. He definitely was not. He still is around the quarterback in a lot of ways. But the star of the defense of the night for Pittsburgh, at least for the most part, was Cam Hayward. I mean, especially in the first half, he was unblockable in the interior part of that offensive line. He was causing havoc, you know, regularly throughout. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think all in all, that's the one thing I saw was those quicker type throws.
Right. That got them going. Can we look at a couple plays here?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do the first one. Let's do the Gabriel Davis 13-yard touchdown.
Sure.
That was in the corner of the end zone because I don't know. They just found a little hole in the zone there. Minkah Fitzpatrick was there, and the other corner, 22, is that Nelson.
Nelson, I believe, yes.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it right here, and then Josh Allen just puts it right there, and Davis finds a good spot.
Yeah, let's leave this up here for a second. So, yeah, pause it at the start if you can, Pete, just to go back again. But here's the interesting. So with this play, okay, this is funny. We talked about a similar play like this last week, and it was in the Buffalo game. This is, and I know you weren't here last Monday, were you? You weren't here Monday. Well, we talked about Richard Sherman and trap coverage or palms coverage.
Yeah, palms. I was palms. Here for palms.
You were here for
yeah.
palms, right? Yep. This is palms. This is the same thing. It's the same thing. 22 is reading the slot receiver. When he sees him go out, it becomes cover two. Now, they're trying to disguise it, and the issue here is 39 on the left hash is so far away from being the half field player.
Right.
So now play the play, Pete, and you see how far 39 has to go. So 22 does his best to go back with it to scare him, but he stops. And Allen gives him a little shoulder shimmy, like he's going to throw it to Cole Beasley, and that made him break down. Like, oh, no, he's going to throw it. I got to get over there to stop that out route. And within that, of course, Josh Allen, I don't know. I would say arguably could probably put more mile per hours on the ball than any other quarterback in football. He throws a laser back into that corner there, and that's just a phenomenal throw. Those are type of plays where it's only like Mahomes, Josh Allen, Rodgers, those type of arms that can throw that ball in a hole like that against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But very impressive, and of course put them in a big-time power position by going up 23-7.
Is there anything you want to say that's super smart right now because our boss is now standing by?
Oh, he's so used to me saying super smart stuff. I can't even impress him
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, you can't even raise the bar anymore.
No, it's already it's way up there.
I already knew you would do that. Okay,
so as he shakes his head and walks away.
He's disappointed, immediately disappointed in the display that he just saw. Another touchdown real quick. Let's look at the Stephon Diggs one, too.
Yeah, let's do that because this pleads into the short passing game, right?
I mean, he was wide open over the middle here. I don't exactly know what
22 slipped. 22 slipped man to man. Remember that, right? So, you know, there was a few times during the game where Steelers defenders slipped during the night or during the game. But yeah, Diggs kind of comes off slow and then turns on the afterburners, makes a hard right hand turn, and 22 falls down. And by that time, Diggs he's too good of an accelerator, and he gets up there in between Minkah Fitzpatrick and 22, and that's all she wrote with Steven Nelson there. But that was more of that was what Buffalo started to do to get momentum. You know, 5-6 yard throws, 8 yard throws, boom, 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 boom. That kind of got them going with the field goal, the first touchdown drive, and then on that drive with Gabriel Davis that we just hit on, last thing, and I know we'll move on, you know, that was one drive where, you know, they got a little more aggressive. They max protected. He hit a intermediate pass to Diggs and then a play action intermediate pass to him, and then there was that touchdown pass there. But either way, that put them in a big-time power position against the offense we know in Pittsburgh that's struggling and not exactly high-octane right now.
So those were a couple of the touchdowns on the offensive side of it. They had a touchdown on the defensive side of the ball as well. The Pittsburgh Steelers offense could not do a whole bunch. James Conner came back. There was some hope that they'd be able to run the ball with him off the COVID-19 list. Could not do that. 10 carries, 18 yards. And, yeah, Big Ben threw a pick six to Taron Johnson. And I think we have the dots for that one as well. And Pete noted, per our discussion last time, and here it is that this is exactly what you were talking about on the pod last time, is that they are a sticks team. And what you meant by that is that if there's a third and five, they're going to basically throw it five.
They're going to throw five or five and a half just to get it. Exactly right. And the beauty of this play, too, is they ran – the same exact play, two plays before this. So Taron Johnson just saw this route here. And, you know, again, when you're going to consistently try to jam in 4 and 5 yard throws all the time, hey, defenses know that. And, you know, Pete heard me today. One of the things I said today is the Steelers have become predictable within their predictability. I mean, they really have. We know they're going to throw it every play. Now they're becoming predictable in, wait, they're going to throw it short and right here in these areas, and that's all you got to defend. So not only do we know they're going to throw it every play, but we know where and how they're going to throw it. That, to me, is like a double whammy. That's hard to overcome. There's got to be something changed there. But, yes, that play called twice out of three plays. They ran that play. He threw the out route to the left. They ran the ball the next play, and then they went right back to that play. Now, McDermott's smart. And he played a different coverage. I mean, McDermott wasn't going to just like let Big Ben get in a rhythm and play the same coverage all night long so he could just get at the line of scrimmage and tear them apart. And also with that play, too, Pete, if we could bring it up one more time, I'd just like to show Juju Smith-Schuster deserves some of the blame here as well.
Okay.
All right? Taron Johnson at the snap is a little outside of Juju Smith-Schuster.
Right.
He never really attacks him. He never really does anything to back him off. So within that, like as the play kind of develops and Juju goes outside, he knows he's inside. So he goes, wait, I'm inside. So all I need to do is really be ready to break outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to run into me and run inside. So he never attacked his leverage is the word we'd use in the NFL, right? If the guy is playing outside of you, or wherever he's playing, you have to attack that leverage. He never does that. And that allowed him to, okay, not worry about it, the inside break it all. And then he takes a little look back to see where Ben's doing. He realizes he's getting ready to throw, and that allows him to come underneath it and break downhill, which was the turning point of the football game.
So this is maybe a little victory lap for you, although we never like to take a victory on someone not playing well. But you had Big Ben outside your top 10. And Joe Chewy 93 says, do you think Big Ben is hurt? Who is to blame for the pathetic performance offensively over the past 2 to 3 games? So specifically on Big Ben, I mean, does he look as good now as he did in the beginning of the year?
He looks fine. It's just, you know, they're going through a little lull as a football team. They're playing some good defenses lately, too. Let's not forget. I mean, you know, Washington's defense is winning games by itself right now. They're like Pittsburgh. Their defense can win games by itself a lot of the time. You know, the week before that, they played the Ravens. That's no slouch either. You know, added to the fact that they had this COVID-19 schedule juggling, when are we playing, when are we not playing, blah, blah, blah. They've had a lot of crap to deal with. I don't think it has anything to do with Big Ben. I think it has a lot to do with what I just told you. Predictable within their predictability right now. Things have to change a little bit.
Yep.
You know, for them to go, hey, we can just be 1 for 10 on third down with Big Ben at quarterback. And then Josh Allen went 7 for 14 on third downs. I mean, those are big stats in a game that tell you a lot about what's being done. The Bills were always staying on the field doing that. The Bills, I'm sorry to change over here just real quick before I go back. The Bills got the ball back with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh never got the ball again.
Yeah. Moss showed up on that drive.
He showed up, and it just, I again think it speaks to that intensity dies out later in the game. They can't just dominate all the time. And that's where this offense is going to have to start helping out. They're not going to change into a running offense.
They can't do it.
It's not going to happen.
They just can't do it.
No. It's not.
Offensive line, pass-blocking offensive line. At this point in the year, there's nothing they can do.
No, your dad's an ex-high school football coach.
Yeah.
He'd probably be like, no, like, running the football starts the first week of training camp in August, right? Where you're like, we're going to run the ball. We're going to be tough. We don't care who we play. We're going to have this attitude about us.
Yeah.
They don't have that. That's not going to be like, oh, it's week 15 now. We want to do that. No. No, you're a throwing football team. Just accentuate that more.
You know, more deep passes. You got Chase Claypool. He's super fast. He's big.
They have to stop the sticks football play like we talked about. Oh, it's 3rd and 10. We throw 11. Oh, it's 3rd and 4. We throw for 5. They have to stop that. Their 1 3rd down conversion of the night, Ahmed, guess what they did? Kept the tight end in the block. Kept the running back in the block. 7-man pass protection. They hit Juju Smith-Schuster on a 3rd and 4 for a 15-yard gain. The Bills were thinking it's going to be short pass. You know, there's no fear when you play the Steelers offense right now. If you blitz, you just go, hey, we just got to come forward and make the tackle. He's going to throw it short. Boom. And then if you fake the blitz and come out, you might get an interception, or they're going to have to jam a ball in between 3 people to get 4 yards. So what's the fear?
Yeah.
Right? It's almost like, hey, we blitz. We know he's going to throw it really quick. Let's just make the tackle, and they'll get 3 or 4 yards. And then we can fake the blitz, and maybe they'll get a big mistake. But there's nothing else. This is where, like you and I have talked about, there's got to be some more first down, keep the tight end in, keep the running back in. We got 3 receivers to the left, and we're going to use them on some combination, but we're going to be protected, and Big Ben can be aggressive and throw the ball down the field. You know, there's got to be more of that. And, you know, to the fact that we talked about, there's not going to be a running game, so there's got to be more movement, formations. They just have to expand the passing game and go all in on it. That, to me, would be my take from it.
So 2 teams. Steelers still have a better record than the Bills, but one team trending here a little bit.
Definitely.
Or, you know, at best here.
They're plateauing. They are.
Plateauing.
Right.
And the Bills, if you're watching on YouTube, you see my arm, and it's trending in an upward trajectory.
They are. Yes. But I'm not giving up on the Steelers. I'm not. The Steelers are still a force to be reckoned with, and I don't care who you are in the AFC. You don't want to see that defense and Big Ben, who's not going to be affected by playoff pressure, coming into town. They'll figure this out. They will. They're going to figure it out. Not that it's going to be perfect, but they're going to figure it out to where it's going to be better than what we've seen the last few weeks. I have no doubt in that. But it's not very often, you know, you see the Steelers give up some of the plays they did, some of the drives, let them run out the clock, the 3rd down conversions, the time of possession. I mean, everything favored Buffalo last night, let alone, you know, they made some big plays when they needed to.
So the Steelers still there, but there are teams in the AFC who are trending up, the Bills being one of them, the Colts perhaps being another, and that is where we begin our damn okay.
Yeah. Oh, Pete can't hit the play button today.
Add it. They'll add it in post.
They'll add it in post.
Damn. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes.
I'm okay.
The legal gambolizing.
Oh, baby.
I am Chris Sims.
I'm okay.
Okay, so it's going to be an all-defensive edition of Damn Okay.
Wow.
Pete likes to accentuate when the defensive players have a good game, although we do give love to the defensive guys most of the time here. We'll start with the Colts, beat the Raiders, got their defensive coordinator fired, but we'll start on the defensive side for the Colts. We're going to give a damn okay to Kenny Moore in his one-handed interception, robbing it from Darren Waller in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, phenomenal play. I don't know what it was yesterday with all the one-handed interceptions in football.
There were a lot of
them. Or one-handed catches in general. But, you know, this is the best secondary player on the Indianapolis Colts football team. It's the one area of that football team that I question from time to time. You know, are they a team that can play man-to-man coverage when they need to against some of the better offenses in football? But that was a huge moment in the football game. And, Pete, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, we're in the middle of a shootout here. I believe the Colts were up 20-17 at this moment. And you're just going, oh, well, here goes the Raiders. They're going to tie the football game or score a touchdown here, and we're just going to go back and forth. But I'm pretty sure it was 20-17. It was 17-14. Okay, there you go. So 17-14 Indy. But, obviously, it gives them a little advantage there. I believe they go down and kick a field goal. To give themselves a 20-14 lead, but that was the little jump start they needed before half, and then the rest of their team took over. And the Colts and Phillip Rivers and the run game, they got Paul Gunther fired.
They did.
And they were impressive. And if the Colts can just, not that they have to run the ball like they did yesterday, but they can run the ball effectively, you know, like Phillip Rivers, I mean, like Tom Brady in Tampa, it's going to help him in his play, and it's going to open up more things within the offense, and I would really like to see them attack that run game a little bit more.
That was always the hope for the Colts, right? It wasn't that Phillip Rivers was going to come in and throw it 50 times a game, and it was going to be, yeah, you're going to run the ball and run it effectively, and Jonathan Taylor's going to break a few, and he did in this game with a 62-yard touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah, the Raiders had given up 35 to the Chiefs, 43 to Atlanta, 28 to the Jets, now 44 to the Colts. Paul Gunther fired on a short week.
That's where I was surprised.
There have been calls for him to be fired. I mean, the Raiders defense hasn't been good for a long time,
right,
even before Paul Gunther.
Right.
But it's not been good lately here.
No, it has not been good.
And their offense has been good, but they've also put more resources into the offensive
no
side.
No doubt. That's what I was just going to say. I mean, you know, like, who's a star in the front seven of the Raiders that, like, Raiders fans think, he's going to take over a game or do something in a big moment? You know, that's the one thing I would argue. It's by far the weakest part of their football team. Their defensive line is way below average. Way below average. And then they have a young secondary, you know, on top of that. And they played some good offenses lately. We know that. You know, the Falcons game, the Falcons scored 43 points. Mm-hmm. The game was the Raiders' offense screwed that game up. You can talk about the defense all you want. I mean, the Raiders kept turning the ball over. And the Raiders stayed in 13-3, 16-3, and then finally the dam broke. But, you know, I guess I'm surprised because I don't know what they expect out of that defense. I just don't see anything to where I go, oh, they should be so much better. They're so much more talented than what they really are. But, you know,
maybe that's what Paul Gunther said. He goes, what do you expect defense?
And they were like, okay, then you're fired.
Yeah.
Last thing with the Colts.
Yes.
But they can get those two runners going, Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor, that's special. And with T.Y. Hilton back in the fold, man, that's just it's you know, another guy, another aspect of their offense you have to worry about. Plus, he's in the trust tree with Phillip Rivers already, you could tell.
Yeah.
And I just – when you start to get to those, like, ooh, there's three things we need to worry about in a certain offense, or they got three different weapons that we're worried about, that's when you become dangerous, and they're getting there.
The Buccaneers are maybe getting back to where they were. They had that bye week, and they came back, beat the Vikings 26-14. We're giving the damn okay to Ndamukong Suh. Per Next Gen Stats, had a team-high 9 quarterback pressures, 1 sack on Kirk Cousins, tied for the third most pressures in a game this season by any defender. It took a while for the offense to get going, so they needed the defense to step up for him. And they did, including Ndamukong Suh.
They did. I mean, Minnesota dominates the game early and
missed
just
a few
can't
kicks.
Do
it.
Yeah, miss a few kicks, right? Extra point. They should have been up by double digits, but the Bucs hang tough. You know, they'd stop the bleeding with Dalvin Cook in the running a little bit, and then it forced, okay, now Kirk Cousins is going to have to throw the ball. And the interior pass protection for the Minnesota Vikings is not good. It's not been good in 3 years. They've had issues here. And Sue just mauls those guys inside, or at least pushes the pocket back into Kirk Cousins' face consistently. So it's amazing, really, with Minnesota. I've never seen a team so good at run blocking and be so average at pass blocking in so many ways. It's shocking that way. But the Bucs, you know, hang in there tough. And then to me, what I saw again yesterday, I know we've gone through these ebbs and flows of talking about them.
Yeah.
But when there's multiple tight ends on the field and they run the ball and they play through Ronald Jones in the running game, Brady's at his best. The Bucs are at his best. And that's, again, what I saw yesterday. Running the ball, few play-action passes, staying in third and manageable. Oh, now it's 3rd and 5. You're not going to beat Brady on 3rd and 5. Not with those weapons either. In his mind, so they're okay, so that's as bad as it gets. That's great. I don't want to see Brady in the shotgun 40 times in a row. That, to me, is when they are not as great. This is a little bit of everything. It gives him the confidence to throw the ball down the field and be aggressive. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe the bye week finally got them sold on this is the way we should play. We'll see where it goes.
Tom Brady improves to 15-4 following a bye week.
I'm not shocked. I mean, you know, I hear everybody on TV like, well, see, Brady can still throw the deep ball. Brady's never not been able to throw the deep ball. Brady's going to have a fucking special arm when he's 55 years old. It's just, was he willing and can you make him comfortable to stand in the pocket and make those throws? And to me, that's when they're at their best because they keep those tight ends in. Teams worry about the run. We don't want to blitz. Oh, they can keep extra guys in to protect. And that's when he usually throws strikes down the field with a deep ball at least.
So they're feeling better about everything. Do you buy into this that Bruce Arians said after the game? We can do any damn thing we want to on offense.
Well, not specifically. No,
because you're
not
saying
exactly.
You excelled because you kind of changed what you
played
wanted
the right way, yeah. Right? You played a style of football that fits your team. And that's where I don't know if it was Brady or Bruce or who wants what. I don't know. But I just know that we went through a number of weeks where we went, it's too pass happy, it's too shotgun happy, and the success rate was too few and far between. When I see this way, see, to me, when you're 15 for 23 for 196, I think that's a whole lot better than 35 for 43 for 305 yards. You know, to the fan, I know that might look cool. Yeah. But 15 completions for 196 means you were making some throws that were changing the field. And yet that, to me, is what wins football games. Changing field position or making a big play to now we're in the fringe of the red zone and now we only need one more play to score a touchdown or at least we're going to get a field goal. But that big play was huge for us, and that's where I think they're dangerous.
So big win for the Buccaneers to get them feeling good about themselves once again. They got a pretty favorable schedule here on out. A win for the Cardinals that was more crucial for them because they are right on the bubble. They got the win over the surging Giants. I thought they were surging.
Yeah.
26-7. And we're going to go to Tanner Morris, who said, Hassan Riddick's got to be up for the damn okay. And he is. We'll give him the damn okay. Hassan Riddick, 5 sacks in the game. Franchise record, most of the game since
Amazing.
2017. Forced 3 fumbles in the game. And he's from New Jersey.
That's
Camden,
right.
New Jersey.
Dirty so Jersey,
like,
baby.
That's maybe the most surprising thing to have a player do this well, being from New Jersey. I was like, all
your,
those things.
Shut your ass up. How dare you speak that blasphemy.
What a game for him.
What a game for him. I mean, how cool is that? You know, you come home to your home state.
Yeah.
You know, I doubt he was a Giants fan. Being from Camden, that's South Jersey. They're more affiliated with Philadelphia. But he probably likes sticking it to the Giants nonetheless, either way. So it was. And that really was the story of the game from the get-go. I mean, the first drive of the game is Marcus Golden's strip sack on Daniel Jones. Mm. That led to no points for the Arizona Cardinals because they missed a 4th-and-1 conversion. But constantly throughout, the Arizona defense dominated the line of scrimmage. And it's one where I'm excited to go watch the film for that for Wednesday's podcast too. Because it just looked like every time Daniel Jones dropped back to pass, there was a plethora of people around him. And every time they ran the football, it seemed like Arizona's defensive line or anybody lined up at the line of scrimmage was all in the backfield. It looked like the Giants from the early get-go part of the year there. But Arizona, you know, they show you they can win ugly football games. Like, we expect them to be Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray.
Right.
They're capable of winning these kind of defensive struggle, we'll take care of the football and make a few plays here and there type of football games. And that's what they did, really. I mean, they did it with turnovers and them taking care of the football themselves.
Kind of disappointing the Giants the way they played in this game. Because, as a company man, I wanted them to play well going into the Sunday Night Football game with Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Like, we need that.
Yes.
Right? They screwed us by playing like that. but Daniel Jones here, from Pro Football Reference, Daniel Jones lost 52 yards in sacks, fumbled 3 times. He's the first quarterback to have a game with 50-plus sack yards and 3-plus fumbles since Daniel Jones in 2019. So this is a recurring problem for Daniel Jones. Early on in his career, for sure, just second year. But ball security, taking some big sacks, has been an issue.
They need to, in the offseason, just tell him to go out and play 7-on-7, and there are no plays. There are no plays. Just, fucking make shit up. Stop, coach told me to go to 1, to 2, to 3. I'm going to sit here because coach said to go through my reads. Like, got to be a football player. Just got to, oh, man, that guy's kind of in my face. Whoa, he flew up. I don't know. Let me just check around me. Let me get out of the pocket. Let me just go run. Let me do something. There is still a concerning aspect of that in his game where I just go the lack of awareness with people around him in the pocket is a little concerning still for this point of his career. It is. He does a lot of good stuff. Now, I think what also into that is I don't think he should have been playing yesterday. You know, so that's going to hurt you too from let me get out of the pocket, let me make a move. When you can't run and you have a hamstring injury, you know, from the get-go, you could tell he was not 100%. And you know, I know he's tough and he wants to play, but it just looked like to me that was one where I think the Giants should have saved themselves or saved himself from himself, really. Yeah. But they got beat at their own game. The Giants really got out-giant by the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals played defense, dominated the line of scrimmage, capitalized on a few turnovers, and that was it. And once it got to 13-0 after the Deion Lewis kick return fumble, just the way the Giants' offense looked, you went, ooh, this is going to be hard, 13-0. I don't know if they're going to be able to score 13 points today. And, right. You know, obviously they didn't.
So they left the window open, the door open, a crack for the football team.
Yeah.
And they slipped through it. Washington got the big victory over the 49ers, 23-15. This was the slam dunk of all damn OKs. Chase Young, six tackles, a sack, two quarterback hits, two passes defended, a forced fumble, a fumble return for a touchdown. He can do it all. He's looking a lot like the guy that the 49ers took last year with the number two overall pick, Nick Bosa, who can do it all and change their defense.
You're right. I mean, they're almost playing defense like them last year. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're, you know, of course, the 49ers had a better offense to support that defense last year. But we're seeing a defense in Washington that is truly capable of almost winning games by themselves. If the 49ers were just willing to win the game 13-7 or 13-6, they would have won yesterday. They would have. You know, I mean, Chase Young is a phenomenal talent. He really is. Jack Del Rio is doing a great job on the defensive side of the ball. He's very sound. They mix up coverage as well. But that D-line is the star of the show. And really, of course, Chase Young, 99. But number 94, Daron Payne, he's a big ugly in the middle, one of the big boys. He's another guy that just does not get the credit, just constantly causing disruption. He's the guy that causes the fumble that Chase Young picks up and then runs for the touchdown. You know, we're not going to talk about him. Mm-hmm. But either way, he's phenomenal. They got studs up front. And I think my last thing there, too, with the 49ers, because you know I root for them and my buddy Kyle Shanahan and all that. I'm done with Nick Mullins. I'm done. I just wish he would make the switch. I don't know what else we got to see anymore. You know, he misses open receivers every week, and in the crucial parts of just about every football game, he messes it up. And I don't know. I don't know. I hope Jimmy G
You're
can come back
soon. You're mad because he's ruining it for your friend.
I am.
Right now.
I'm sorry.
I mean, the stat is glaring. It's 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo, 22-8. 49ers without Jimmy Garoppolo, 6-25. Don't know how much better C.J. Beathard would be than Nick Mullins, but you want to see.
Yeah, and it's not even just that. You know, you're truly losing games because of that guy. You know, Buffalo, there's a handful of plays last week where you go, man, if he makes that throw properly or doesn't, you know, false start and a quarterback sneak on the one-yard line and do things, like, who knows what's going to happen? They might win the game. You know, so there we got two games in a row here or there.
Eagles
game. They lost because of him. You're exactly right. You know, so there's that one. Known to that one, Green Bay got off to a bad start, missed throws there. I mean, you could say that was partly him either way, but, you know, to me, I'm with you, or what you just said. I'd like to see C.J. Beathard from here on out.
Okay, we'll see if they do it. Yep. Their 49ers slim playoff hopes.
Oh, crushed.
Still there. They're going away.
Yeah, they are.
Nearing zero. Staying in the NFC West with the 49ers, the Seahawks, a lot rosier picture for them. It helps when you play the New York Jets. That just makes things better.
Always a good cure.
The Raiders. Jamal Adams, we're going to give the damn okay here. Frank Knoll says, damn okay nomination for Jamal Adams for breaking the sack record for a DB. Also a damn okay nomination for Pete Demolemelitis for having to put up with Chris Sims.
Oh.
I agree with that. I mean, it is. You're a nice guy. You're a hard worker. Pete says it's a great tweet because it's true. You know, you press the people that you love the most.
Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. We'll give him a damn okay. He deserves that.
He deserves one.
Not
yeah.
as much as Jamal Adams does. Okay. Jamal Adams he's just a phenomenal football player. You know, I know he's made some mistakes this year and learning the new defense and all of that, but the way he flies around, had the dropped interception. You know, the sacks themselves, listen, I know he's not a pure pass rusher. It's not like he's beating tackles, but it shows he has a knack of timing up snap counts, getting around blockers, and, like, his acceleration shocks quarterbacks. I think they see him blitzing and they go, oh, he won't be here for another second or two. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, he's here? You know, I think that all is shocking. But good win by Seattle yesterday. I know it's the Jets and all of those type of things, but it also gave them the opportunity to work on some things I think they needed to work on. Got their run game back in order. Russell gets his confidence back a little. You know,
it's like a relationship. They needed to work on themselves.
I really do. You do sometimes. But, you know, good for Jamal Adams. I don't give a damn where he's ranked or anything like that. He's still one of the best defenders in football.
8.5 sacks, passes Adrian Wilson for the most by a defensive back in a single season in NFL history. And Russell Wilson becomes the only quarterback in the Super Bowl era to win 9-plus games. In each of his first 9 seasons, he had 4 touchdowns in the game. He's got 36 on the season, which is a career high for him, and he's still not going to sniff an MVP vote.
No, he's probably not. You're right. I don't know. I hope somebody gives him a token vote this year at least.
But you really can't in the NFL, right? It's like you're just vote. It's not like you have 5 votes. It's like you have 1 vote.
I know.
It's like who is the MVP?
It's hard like not to see.
You can't get a second place vote.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to see many votes not going from Mahomes and Rod. You're right. And you're going to be able to also say, you know, a few of those losses – you know, you can pin him on Russell. Not that he lost the games, but he made some big mistakes and some big moments that we don't usually see him do. But, you know, good for Seattle. And I'm interested to see, you know, like Damon Snacks Harrison, he had that strip yesterday and the fumble on Frank Gore. Jamal Adams was involved in that. You know, I want to see how much he played yesterday and keep infusing him more and more. It's kind of been spotty to this point. But I'm not giving up on Seattle. I'm not. I still think they're a damn good football team and are going to make some noise before all said and done.
It is time to save the paper. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. Give me the headlines presented by Hyundai. So we've got a newspaper. The only way it can be saved is if our editor-in-chief, Chris Sims, can give us good headlines for these games.
I like it.
The first one we're doing is Titans versus Jaguars. Titans, a big win for them. Looks really good. 31-10 was the final score.
Legendary.
Ooh, okay. Simple.
How many copies does it just sell? A million?
In Tennessee, a lot. Yeah, in Tennessee, it will sell a lot.
Because that's where Derrick Henry is. It's legendary status. You know, yesterday, to be the first running back in the history of football with 200 rushing yards and 2 TD games to have, what, 4 of them?
4 in his career.
Right? Yeah. 4 in his career. Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, LaDainian Tomlinson only have 3. That's legendary stuff. I don't know any other way to say it. There was a lot of legendary stuff in this football game, though. You know, with him running the ball, A.J. Brown's one-handed touchdown catch, that was amazing.
On a flea flicker,
cool. You're exactly right. You know, and Tannehill really putting it in the perfect spot. The guy's just holding his arm. He can't lift the other arm up. But they're just amazing. I'm always amazed with a ground and pound football team with how many big explosive plays they have every week. You know, they're supposed to be 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and you know, there's some of the most fun highlights to watch on a Sunday is them every week. It's big passes, it's big runs, and again, some of those holes were perfectly blocked. I know that, but I think we have to take into account is when they're perfectly blocked, he maximizes it. You know, if there's, it's a perfectly blocked hole, he got a 47-yard run, and that was there to be had, yes. But what people don't realize is sometimes there's a lot of other running backs I can show you and go, look, his hole was like Derrick Henry's yesterday, and he got 15. He didn't make the appropriate cut. He didn't see the proper hole. Or, you know, he didn't know the right time to slow down and then reaccelerate to get through the second level, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. He's got all of that, and that's where he's special.
A team that when they're good, they're like, no, this is such a good team. It's such a fun team to watch, like you mentioned. And they're built for this time of year.
They are.
Built for the postseason.
They are.
Good run game. Tannehill doesn't turn the ball over.
Right.
Offense helps him a lot.
Yep.
Do want to give love to Jacksonville running back James Robinson.
Yeah, he's a baller.
He has the most scrimmage yards now by any undrafted rookie in the common draft area.
Is that right?
Most scrimmage yards.
Is that
yards.
Era you were supposed to say or area?
Era. Common era. Draft era. Did I say era?
I don't know what you said.
I mean, I think the stat's right, too.
Well,
but he's had an unbelievable year. Yeah.
And wait, so it's – what is it? Most
scrimmage yards by an undrafted rookie in the common draft area.
Wow.
Really good.
It is really good. I mean, I want to challenge that and go, that's more than Arian Foster when he led the NFL in rushing and things like
Pete
that?
Pete says pass Dominic Rhodes.
Oh, so not as a rookie.
It wasn't as a rookie.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure we're clarifying that. Okay.
I mean, he's all that they have.
Yes.
So they do have to ride him, but hey, when you're all that they have, sometimes you can gang up on him and
yeah,
stop
exactly.
Him,
so. It's easier to stop, too.
Haven't been I able know. To do that.
He's
Titans,
damn good.
Titans get a win. They are legendary. Cowboys defeat the Bengals. 30-7, our headline for the Cowboys' victory.
I couldn't think of anything special here other than the obvious. Red Rifle Revenge.
Ooh,
three
that's
R's.
Good. That's good.
I don't know if it's good.
I like it. That's really good.
Red Rifle Revenge.
Perfect.
Yes.
It wasn't like it was.
Well,
all
he didn't cause the fumbles to the Bengals to just give the ball to Dallas early on. Yeah. Certainly not. But I will give him credit, and it's just a cool story nonetheless. Underappreciated for what he did in Cincinnati as a starting quarterback, mm-hmm. the playoff appearances. He was very consistent throughout his time there. Yeah, he's not a superstar. But to go home, Dallas, of course, struggling, dysfunctional, everything, whatever you want to say. And really, I'm not even sold that they were the better team on the field yesterday, other than that just Cincinnati messed things up
the
early.
The Bengals outgained the Cowboys and Andy Dalton.
I'm not shocked. You know, there are two drives where they fumbled. You know, the one, they were down in field goal range when Aldon Smith picked it up and ran for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. The other one was very early on in a drive. I think that was Giovanni Bernard who fumbled. But still, he still made a lot of great throws in the game. You know, gets the little skinny post to Amari Cooper for a touchdown. That was nice. Of course, the touchdown to seal the game at the end. And him and CeeDee Lamb got a pretty good connection as well. So it was a well-rounded win by the Cowboys. But, yeah, it doesn't make me think a whole lot differently about them. It's all about the Red Rifle Revenge.
And the Bengals fall to 4-24-1 since 2019, worst record in the NFL.
Yes.
They should think about a rebrand, maybe changing the logo and changing the helmet or something
Somebody smart said that once.
I'll start talking about that. All right. The paper has been saved.
Woo!
Those are really good.
I saved it?
You saved the paper.
Woo!
We're gonna have one more week.
Yes, one more week.
That was Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. So Hyundai likes us. Head and Shoulders, they like us.
Verizon,
we're on notice.
We're on
by Verizon. We've mentioned them enough now that we might be getting back,
get back
on
the good
side.
Good.
All right, let's finish it out with self-scout thyself.
Yeah.
And this is usually a section where we take what you've said before, where you're wrong, and like throw it in your face.
Right.
Not going to totally do that this time, because I think it's a healthy thing for everyone to self-scout thyself.
I think it's important.
Some of your best wisdom out there is like take what you've said, look at it and see if you're right or not.
Right.
You know,
good look in the mirror can do good for your soul.
Be man enough to say we need to improve.
Right.
I was wrong.
Right.
And you know what? The Falcons Twitter account, they do that often. They're very self-deprecating.
What did they do?
And this was before the game with the Chargers. It was like the Spider-Man theme, you know, it's like, hey, that's me. No, you're me. We're each other. We're the same person.
They really are.
They blow leads late. They're underwhelming. They had higher expectations than where they are right now. And wouldn't you know, the game literally ends with both teams throwing a pick and then Justin Herbert making a big
play. It's like they were literally like, no, you win. No, you win.
I know.
You win. I mean, it had everything.
Almost too cliche.
It had everything. It had Anthony Lynn and the Chargers screwing up clock management before the end of the first half. Mm. Then, you know, it looks like, whoa, Atlanta's going to drive down and win the football game. Interception. Herbert comes back. Interception. Then Ryan drives him down. And you go, okay, well, he's not going to mess it up again.
Right.
No, they'll kick the field goal this time. And I don't know what he did on the out route to the right. Like, he threw like a changeup loft ball, like on an out route, and made it very easy on Mike Davis, the corner over there. And then Justin Herbert threw an absolute laser, like a play or two later, to get them in field goal position to win the football game. But I mean, that I didn't see that tweet until right now, but that is comical.
That was before the game.
We were laughing about this while we were watching the game, just going, this is unreal. These are the two teams that find ways to mess things up.
Chargers get a win. Nice play by Herbert there to win it. The nice field goal, 43-yarder from Bagley to nail it for the Chargers. Brandon McManus also self-scouting thyself. Mm. He missed two extra points, even though the Broncos still won. He tweeted this out after the game, Brandon McManus sucked today.
I appreciate that there.
Self-evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Just, you know, drive it home. And it's a good time to do it. You still won the football game, so you can be hard on yourself and still find a silver lining there. I can't even say that I specifically saw his extra points that were missed.
Didn't matter.
You know, during the game.
What I did see in this game.
Yeah.
I do the only fantasy football that I'm having success in right now is I do this FanDuel with my mother and father. And so they're both in their 60s, but they follow the NFL.
Right.
And I found they're the only two people that I can somewhat compete against in fantasy now. They beat me most of the time. But I was able to beat them this week because I had KJ Hamler,
who
had two catches, two touchdowns, 86 yards. And I pick him every once in a while because that's what I think is going to happen.
Right.
I was like, he's going to just have one or two big plays that's going to win it. And he did in this game. I wish they'd use him more because I pick him a lot.
I know. Well, yeah, they're trying. I mean, he's showed himself here over the last month where, you know, we talked about him a lot during the draft.
We did.
You know, I really thought he was a better version of Hollywood Brown, who came out of Oklahoma and was a top 20 pick the year before.
Do you not think that anymore?
I think he's better. Yeah. He's the same guy, except he's stronger and can get off jam coverage and play with a little physicality. But, you know, how can – I do feel like yesterday might have solidified Drew Locke's future with the Broncos. That would be my big thing. Hey, Mr. McManus, great job self-scouting yourself. But, you know, Drew Locke, I know they lost the game to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. He did some good things in that game. I know he made some mistakes. You know, but with a performance like yesterday, his big throws and the plays he made in the game, they were the difference. They were. And his ability to change the field and hit KJ Hamler on the two long touchdown passes – we're big. I'm excited for what they have there in Denver. I know we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, no Cortland Sutton there right now either. We got to remember
that's true.
It's the best receiver on their team is not
that.
Even there, and that would look a lot different if he was out there.
Take some of the pressure off of Jerry Jeudy
right.
and KJ Hamler.
Right.
Broncos get the win, and our final game we made it 12-14.
Wow,
here. You ready?
Bam.
Bears get the emphatic win over the Texans, 36-7. Lockdown CB says he wanted to give a damn okay to David Montgomery for getting crapped on all year, but proving his worth.
Yeah.
Proved his worth in this game. That first, I think it was the first touchdown of the day.
It was the long run. Yeah. I mean, he's had two big runs here as of late. And, you know, quite honestly, I think they're playing a little bit more of a style of football that fits him. I said this on Pro Football Talk this morning. I'll say it again. You know, last week, their offense was better, Chicago, against your Detroit Lions. I know they lost the football game, but it wasn't because of the offense.
Right.
Right? The offense scored 30 points and almost drove down to score again at the end of the football game. They had a 10-point lead they handed to their defense against Matt Stafford and the Lions. They blew it. The offense showed me something that week. And, of course, this week, you know, a little like the Jets, if you're a struggling offense, there's nothing better than seeing the Houston Texans come to town.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are bad on defense, definitely. But I still think there has to be some credit given to the Bears. You know, I've seen more formations and personnel sets, and Trubisky's underneath center more, and they're letting Montgomery run downhill more than being in the shotgun and always your first step going sideways and doing that stuff. And the boots and play actions off of it are more of Trubisky's game too. So I've liked that aspect of what they've done there. I mean, really. They played pretty damn good football yesterday, everybody. Allen Robinson got involved, everything like that. But, yes, the Houston Texans defense stunk. And Trubisky can tell all the Bears fans for the first time in a long time, I'm better than Deshaun Watson today.
Yeah.
Eat it.
At least on the scoreboard for
on the
one
scoreboard,
game.
Scoreboard, that's right.
Bears have scored 24 or more points in five of Trubisky's six starts this season. They had fewer than 24 in all seven of Nick Foles' starts. That's interesting.
It is interesting.
I was like, oh, that makes you think. Oh, it makes you think.
It does make you think. It really does.
Okay, there's one stat I didn't get in.
What?
The most surprising stat of the season from one of these, you're never going to get this.
All right, well, let me try to guess.
One team has scored on the opening drive in seven straight games. Longest active streak in the NFL.
Oh, man. On the opening drive?
Opening drive in seven straight games.
Wait, I saw this yesterday, too. I saw it on TV during, you know, I'm watching 8 1 o'clock games yesterday.
It was not either the Bears or Texans that we just talked
it
about.
Wasn't
it
wasn't them.
Nope, it was a
okay.
different team.
Okay, just give me a second. Just give me a second here. Hold
I've already
horses.
Said it's the most surprising stat.
It's the most surprising stat?
Yeah.
The opening drive thing?
I mean, it makes no sense.
I don't know. I'm actually have no idea.
Ladies and
Are
gentlemen,
the Lions?
The New York Jets.
The Jets.
Have scored on the opening drive in now seven
oh,
straight
just
games.
Just scored. Yeah.
Just scored. Right. Not a touchdown.
Right. Right.
And I was like, they lost 40-3. How was that? Their opening
First drive
was a field
baby.
Goal.
victory.
I wanted to get that in there because it just blew my mind.
That blew my mind.
And now this will blow your mind.
What?
As we end the podcast
yep.
by laying to rest four teams who have now been eliminated or virtually eliminated from the postseason. Those teams are the Houston Texans, Atlanta Falcons, Denver Broncos, and Carolina Panthers. James, thanks for playing the music. I was like, we can't do Requiem without the music. It doesn't have the same effect.
It definitely doesn't.
So here we go. Today, we lay to rest the Houston Texans, a team that over the last couple years didn't think they needed first-round picks or a stud wide receiver or even a defense like you mentioned and thought they could win without them. Let's give credit where credit is due. A team that's won a division title or two. You still have Deshaun, but he could be gone if you insist on surrounding him with poo-poo. Right?
Well done.
You might want to leave.
Well done. Yes, they better get some talent
around him and protect him.
He
deserves it.
He does.
All right. Here lie the Atlanta Falcons, a team with a quarterback who is the most passing yards of any player who we will completely forget about 5 years after he retires. He's not that memorable. He's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Might forget him.
Yeah.
Hope we don't. All right. They played the games out of obligation. Their head coach not around for the duration. But one thing is guaranteed, starting the fourth quarter with a lead will always result in humiliation. Should go in down.
Bye-bye, Falcons.
Bye-bye, Falcons. Lay you to rest. I thought you were going to be good this year. Not that good.
Nothing.
All right. Here lie the Denver Broncos, a team whose all-time great quarterback went from GM to number two on the depth chart in week 12. Remember that? I mean, it's like they almost needed him.
Yeah.
It was like, we might need you,
we might
John.
Need you.
Suit up. This team, sadly, was not up to the task, driving their fans to reach for their flask. Drew Lock was not bad, some big plays to be had, but he just needs some practice wearing his mask. That's what he got.
Well done. Well done. Look at you.
A little problem there. You know?
Bye-bye, Denver.
Bye-bye, Denver. Got to shore that up a little bit there. Okay. And finally, today, we lay to rest the Carolina Panthers, a team who had managed to set our expectations so low that a four-win season feels worthy of like a parade.
It does
like
feel
we're
good.
Like, wow, that was an yeah, amazing
solid,
season.
Solid.
I might have a parade. Okay. Let's be honest. They actually would be fun if CMC could get in a full run. This year, led at QB by the likable Teddy B,
yeah.
who can almost outthrow Chris's son. I mean, so close, right? He almost has the RZ. How old is your son?
He's 10.
Strong 10.
It's a strong 10. But bye-bye, Carolina.
So bye-bye.
See you next year.
See you next
it
year.
It was fun.
They were a fun team.
Oh, they're one of the more four-win teams to watch this year. They are. And they played.
I really liked them.
Matt Rhule did a great job.
I was like, Matt Rhule, coach of the year. Feels like they won more than four games.
It does.
It?
Well, they were close on a few, but I know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
It's like a brand new defense.
Right.
They might have had the average age of your son, 10 years old.
I mean, yeah. Like what do you think? Young. You think they stay with Teddy B going into the next year? Are they going to try to look
it? It wasn't like a four-year deal or three-year deal.
Yeah.
Or?
Probably could get out of that after two, I think.
But what is it? He's lost like seven starts in a row, I think.
It's something like that. It'd be interesting.
Going 5-0 last year with Sean Payton.
I'll be interested to see what they do or where they go with that. But their football team's on the right track, that's for sure. Just like we are. Who are you taking tonight? Ravens or Browns?
Ravens.
Taking Ravens?
Which I feel like now I'm starting to feel like the Browns are getting too good again. It's like they can never progress to the point where they're a favorite
right.
in a game.
So this will bring them back
this
down a little bit.
This has to, right?
Yeah.
But who do you like?
I like the Ravens too. I do. I mean, I'm not feeling confident about that. It's just going to be whoever can do a better job on run defense, in my opinion. And I'm just going to go with the Ravens there. Not that I feel super confident about their run defense. We saw Tennessee run on them. We saw New England run on them at will. So I'm a little scared from that aspect. I think where I think that maybe they can slow the Browns down. Browns passing attack, not real diverse, those great corners for the Ravens to where maybe they can load the box, take that away. Browns defense, not a great run-stopping defense, but they don't have to worry about a lot of passing stuff too. You know, the Ravens are troubling that way. Even though they beat the Cowboys last week, there was no wide receiver involvement, again, by their offense, and that's just scary. There's nothing that excites me in their pass offense that way, so that'll be something to watch. But I think it really comes down to that. It's just what defense can kind of win the all-out, sell-out to stop the run battle and not give up big plays that way. I'm going to go with the Ravens, 2017.
First round pick next year for Baltimore, wide receiver.
Yes.
Ja'Marr Chase.
Sure.
They won't have a high
They need
pick.
More ideas in the pass game, too. They need a pass game coordinator, in my opinion. That would be the other thing I would talk
about.
We'll
see how they do against the Browns today. We did it. We got through all 14 teams. We buried four of them.
Yeah.
They're dead. Saved the newspaper.
Right. Oof. Eventful day.
Verizon's still here.
Great. Head and shoulders good.
Head and shoulders fine.
Great.
Hyundai's good.
Great. Okay, cool. Just want to make sure the
Anyone
money.
Anyone else want to sponsor?
Just want to make sure the money's still pouring into me. Just got to make sure it keeps pouring in.
Energy drink. We need an energy drink sponsor.
No, we don't. I draw the line somewhere, and that's where I draw it, okay? Safety of our health.
It's fine. It's borderline. It's
okay,
fine.
Thank you. All right, we'll be back Wednesday. I don't know if my dad will be there or not. I give up. I've asked him the last 5 Wednesdays in a row.
What's he doing?
I don't know. He's got a life, apparently.
Are you talking off outside the show? Like, things okay? Should I
We are talking. We are. Yes, we are. But Wednesday, we'll be back for the What the Fuck Happened podcast. We'll deep dive more games. I'll break them down. That's all I'll be doing tomorrow. Tuesday is watching film, everything like that. Enjoy Monday Night Football, Ravens, Browns. Ahmed, you'll be back next week, right? You're not here Wednesday?
I think so. It's Christmas, so we're starting to lose.
All right, so we'll figure it out. But either way, we'll see you Wednesday on Chris Sims Unbuttoned, brought to you by Verizon. They're back.
They're back. They're here.
Coming up.